Welcome back to Tech Hygiene. We help you stay sane in a crazy world. Say hi to your hosts, John Biggs and Lauren Feltman.
Welcome back to Tech Hygiene. I don't think we can stay sane in a high-tech world anymore. Lauren, welcome back. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. No, I agree. We've reached a critical moment in social media. Perhaps a tipping point, some might say.
So to recap, last time we were together, we were excited that the world was going to feel better. And then everybody went to the White House or went to the Capitol building and stormed it based on multiple reasons. First, they primarily went to go support Trump, but they also went because
he told them to.
And if you really think about what they thought was going to happen, they thought they were going to walk in and they had all their zip ties. They were going to set up a kangaroo court right in the thing, and and Trump was going to come out with a big screen TV and show them all the pedophilia QAnon stuff. Like they would show Tom Hanks naked, having sex with, I don't know, Steven Spielberg, and then shooting babies and eating their blood. And then he would show all that, and then they would go for a full bore like trial by jury of your peers, and then they would shoot everybody. That's kind of the whole thing. That's how it was all going to supposed to go down.
Really?
And that's
I did not know any of that.
That's the point. That's why this is. That's why they all showed up. I mean, they originally showed up to support Trump. So they originally showed up to do the to do.
So
the,
they were going to do like a QAnon.
Yes.
And judge, jury, executioner. Yeah. Yeah. I assume. Right there.
The expectation was that they would get on, that Trump would come out at the end of the day after all, like as soon as they came in, he would say, "Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the White House. And now for an exciting opportunity to try and murder Nancy Pelosi. Bring him out, do the whole thing." They'd zip tie him all up. Maybe they'd hold him hostage a little bit, do the whole like Whitmer stuff that they were planning out in Michigan.
It's crazy.
And okay, absolutely, maybe not every single one of them was like that, but you have to imagine that was the goal. That's why they dressed up like that.
I think that there were all kinds of different factions there. I did see a group of guys in military fatigues, mm-hmm, who seemed to be disciplined and have a plan, walking shoulder to shoulder, not shoulder to shoulder, one behind each other with their hands on each other's shoulders, you know, not to lose track, snaking their way up the crowd to the front. Mm-hmm. I saw all of the video footage I could watch, especially the Times did a really good job with all this stuff. They seemed to get everything. And it was absolutely insane, terrifying. You have these, I didn't know how deeply the whole Q thing was, that they were going to go with that whole angle so hard. Mm-hmm. But Q people, militia people, you know, just the YouTubers. It's such a disaster. And I really feel that we're going to see a lot more. I mean, the feds already, the FBI said that there could be coordinated attacks, you know, in every state capital. It's crazy. They should have gotten rid of Trump a long time ago.
Yeah.
Every second that he's there, including this second, is dangerous. And I don't know how the country recovers, truthfully. Because the fact that there's any Republicans left at all.
Yeah.
Let alone the amount that are now out there just gaslighting and these bullshit straw man arguments and what abouts and what ifs, and it's atrocious. It's atrocious. Well, I mean, the whole point post-truth society.
Yeah. Well, the whole point of this, and somebody wrote this on Twitter, interestingly enough, that when you have that kind of like corn-fed, down-home, racist type person, they don't believe anything that they say, but they like to say it. And this is similar to what my dad was near the end of his life. They like to say it just to piss off the kids. Right. So they sit at the dining room table and say, like, I don't know, that Obama was born in Kenya, and that's, and they don't believe it. They don't, and it ultimately doesn't really matter to them, but they love the reaction that they get. And that's what a lot of this stuff is. I'm watching these guys who are like reacting to it, or this guy who's like wearing the horns, the QAnon shaman or whatever.
This, yeah, that guy's really crazy.
He lives with his parents. He's nuts. He stays at home. He does his thing. And in any other universe, he would be the snake would eat its own tail. In any other, in an alternate universe, he would be some guy with, like, I don't know, dream catcher earrings doing yoga in San Diego and holding crystals up to his forehead. And you basically just, the further right you go, the more left you go, basically. And you end up in the middle. So there's a happy medium where you're kind of apolitical, and there's also a happy medium where if you go too far right or too far left, you end up thinking that lizards run the world.
Yeah, he was actually I read a long article about him. He was an eco-fascist.
Mm-hmm.
Total Nazi, but an eco guy. So it's just a disaster. It's all a mental illness problem. Trump's tapped into it. He knows he's tapped into it. They know exactly what they're doing. And it's all Twitter's fault and social media's fault.
So this is, since we talk
about Facebook and TikTok.
I think it's Facebook. TikTok is going to be an interesting switch.
We love TikTok, and the great irony that I love is that TikTok outlasted Trump.
Yeah, it's true. That's absolutely true.
They're still here. They had that 1 week deadline to sell like 3 months ago.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's TikTok. It's Facebook. It's definitely Facebook, you know, first, then Twitter.
Mm-hmm. Well, I wouldn't even argue. I think Twitter is too overwhelming for most people.
Nobody uses Twitter. That's the thing. Like, we use Twitter, and you see Twitter on the news, actually, right? Mm-hmm. They quote Twitter a lot. But the reality is, what is it, like 20% of America uses Twitter? It's like that. It's obscenely low. So that's why, you know, you get a lot of that Twitter is in real life business. It's Facebook. I mean, Twitter's a horror show too. They're all horror shows.
So the Parler story, were you following this? Parler, let's call it.
Of course.
So what it breaks down to is that first they were hacked. So this is interesting. A couple weeks ago, I was talking with somebody on Twitter. About how horrible Parler's website was. So the whole thing was, if you sent the right piece of code, like in an API, you could basically shut the thing down. You could shut the thing down for like 15 minutes at a pop. So you could easily DDoS it with just like one malformed API call. And this guy showed me it worked and everything, but we didn't do much with it because it's like, all right, who cares? Then all of a sudden, everybody got knocked off. And at the exact same time, hackers were slowly but surely pulling like terabytes of information off of their servers.
Yeah.
So they had like a SETI at home kind of thing, where some people were like, some people would grab like this server, and the other person would grab
this server. Yeah, it started with, I believe, one researcher, and then they did this. She, I believe, it was a woman.
Mm-hmm.
She did the whole SETI setup, where it became, you know, group data collection.
So you had all this data collected, then they slowly but surely, and we did a TikTok on this, like we wrote about like how it went down. Slowly but surely, the entire site went down because first they got banned from all of their service providers, Google, Apple, AWS, even their lawyers dumped them, and then AWS shut down their servers straight up. They basically just said, you can't host this stuff on our servers anymore. So. Barring, Russian Federation.
The latest is they signed with Epic today. Epic's agreed to host them.
Epic. Oh, yeah, that's right.
EPIK. Those are the guys who host this Daily Storm or all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So there you go. So you got, so, and this is actually a big thing with these guys, like the libertarian hosters. There was, do you remember that one guy who's like stuck in a bunker somewhere in the middle of Germany or nothing?
Yeah.
Netherlands. Yeah. So those guys, that same kind of idea where you basically have this guy who's supporting freedom of speech by hosting kiddie porn and drug marketplaces.
I like how we haven't even brought up quote unquote free speech or any of that. Because mm-hmm. fuck those guys. I mean, I hate that whole argument. I just, it's so disingenuous and they know. And that's what I hate about all of it, truthfully, is just the gaslighting and bullshit. It's like, you know what? If you want to be a Nazi, just be a fucking Nazi. You know, just stop with the, you know, the semantics or dancing around it. I mean, I thought that's the whole point of Trump is that, you know, it's okay now to be to come out of the racist, anti-Semitic, misogynist, whatever closet.
But again, this is the same story. This is the story that we talked about before that they love to be contrarian. It's not about actually being these things. Because they know, and the question is, if you have no power to hire or fire or control anything in the world, can you be racist? And absolutely, you can, and 100% you can be. It's a bad thing. But these guys feel they have no power, so they might as well just go nuts. They might as well just use what limited power they have as a white person to make other people's lives miserable.
Well, it's like, but it's beyond that. It's because there's so many billionaires. And
yeah, that's true.
White people, I mean, the best thing I saw was David Sacks.
Mm-hmm.
You know him, right?
Yep.
David Sacks, one of the PayPal mafia, mm-hmm. Slack, I think, not Slack, but
all those guys,
but
Notch from what's his name?
Yeah. So David Sacks, you know, is a big deal. And he basically says that it's un-American. And you can't survive without, you know, being in the app stores and all of that. And, you know, real smug about the whole thing. And the guy from Reddit, what's his name? Alex?
Ohanian.
Alex Ohanian, who's a pretty cool cat. He was like, listen, dude, how about this? How about OnlyFans doesn't have an app, isn't in any store, and is monetizing the biggest free commodity on the web, which is porn, to the tune of $500 million a year in revenues. He's like, so don't give me your bullshit about Apple stores or Google stores. And he's 1,000% right. Uh-huh. He's 1,000% right.
The only way to have success in the App Store anyway is to spend millions of dollars on advertising. So you're basically
Either way, you don't need it either way. It is a free market. Free markets have spoken. They don't want you in your shitty coded social site. Mm-hmm. It's not worth the PR hit. You know, and then suddenly it's censorship, and I mean they don't even understand what censorship is, obviously, or if they do, they just don't fucking care.
Well, the First Amendment, they assume the First Amendment is
right.
Supports them to say anything they want, but it allows them to stand on a street corner and say Trump sucks.
Well, 100%. It allows the government not to stop you.
Yeah.
So it's just like, it's the whole thing is so convoluted. And like I said, just gaslighting at this point. The fact that, you know, the fact that there's even a discussion, it's like, you know what? Learn to code.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Isn't that the answer?
Well, again, like so
we're the great entrepreneurial nation. We're geniuses. We love free markets. Everyone hates Facebook. So go build your own.
And that's the question. Like, why doesn't John Matzer, whoever this guy who runs this place, why doesn't he just go buy a bunch of servers and stick it up in like a warehouse somewhere? And he didn't. Exactly. And the reason why he does it, he knows that the free market says that's not the effective and efficient way to do.
No, he could never scale it. He could never maintain it. You know, I mean, it's to build a Twitter is $200 million.
Yeah. And it's a free service. They're basically giving away access to the service. And Facebook
and Twitter basically still loses money. It's not even like it's like it's ridiculous. And the other thing, the other great thing that Alex said was like, what all you schmucks still don't understand is that at the end of the day, people want moderation.
Mm-hmm.
And they do.
Well, that's the interesting thing. I'm talking to this guy on He was a right winger, and he's a conservative dude in Texas. He works for oil, and he doesn't want his kids to have to deal with abortion. And it's like I don't know what that has to do with anything really, but he's a nice enough guy. So I'm chatting back and forth with him about this whole thing. And but the complaints that I get, especially about like Gizmodo's gone a little bit has gone very political recently. And that's primarily because the writers feel very strongly about various aspects of the world, including climate change, including, tech surveillance and all this other good stuff. And yeah, absolutely. This is absolutely something that we have to be discussing. These guys don't want to, these guys say, stick to gadgets, stick to, I don't know what Sony's coming out with. So there's two problems with this. First, almost every single piece of news, tech news, is politicized. I mean, if Sony comes out with something new, then it's politicized because it's Sony, or they manufacture it somewhere special and everybody hates it. And then if Twitter does something that's political, it becomes a political thing and it becomes a whole story. And third, and the final point is that nobody reads just a gadget story anymore. There's so much stuff out there. There's so much stuff that you can slide through Facebook and you see ads for gadgets that you've never seen before, and you have no idea if they're actual articles or if they're real. So it's really, really hard to break through that noise field. So you're basically in a situation where the only interesting news is news that is topical, that is cause a little bit of contention, that could maybe not be just a gadget story. But again, they get this stuff for free. They want it to be specially and carefully curated. And then when they see it, they're like, oh, I don't like this because it doesn't match my particular viewpoint. That goes to say that either you get a bunch of garbage ads on Facebook all day long, or you get news. And right now you're getting both, but you have to figure out who you want to believe, who you want to follow, and who you want to pay to give you information about the world.
Well, the whole Facebook thing was always weird to me because I never, ever used Facebook as a source of news. It never even occurred to me. When the site was first invented, I didn't. And certainly to this day, like, it wouldn't even occur to me. Like, I get all of my news from an RSS feed. I use Feedly. I set up my own feeds. And it's basically like CNN, the New York Times, the Washington Post, you know, then I'll do entertainment like Rolling Stone, whatever. But the fact that people just would actually use Facebook as their primary news source, which mm-hmm. apparently a lot of people do, just blows me away.
Well, my buddy, literally, we were just talking about this the other night. He sat down with his mother and he spoke to his mom for the first time in probably 20 years, like back in like just like a real conversation. And like most of the time, I haven't spoken to my mother in that way in a couple of years, and it's frustrating. So he showed her how to use Google. And what she would do is she would go on Facebook, she'd scroll through her feed. It would all be these people saying that there was going to be a blackout, news blackout, and Trump was going to come on the airwaves and say, everybody listen, the aliens have landed and now we have to fight and take over the Capitol again. They were convinced this was going to happen. They were convinced that the Vatican had been raided to free all the children who were stolen there, I guess. I don't know what the, I guess they're evangelical. Jesus. Whole thing, blackouts throughout Europe, the Vatican being raided while they were talking. Now she's doing her research. She does her own research on vaccines. That's what she's saying. So then she got onto, then my buddy got onto Google and showed her Europe blackouts, any media blackouts, any regular blackouts, nothing on the BBC, nothing on New York Times, nothing on any legitimate organization. Then he did a search on, I don't know, the Vatican, nothing. Nothing. Everything that she read on Facebook was fake. And she had And she discovered this, and I mean, has it changed her mind? Has it changed anything in her life? Probably not. But at the absolute very least, it's kind of freaking made her think a little bit, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know how people, you know, I mean, that's a whole other show, like how you get people out of it. But it's disastrous. It's disastrous. And Twitter banning people, and Facebook yesterday banned the term "stop the steal."
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, ultimately, I don't care about any of it. But I, at this point, I guess I'm pro taking everything down. You know, F those people. Who cares?
Yeah.
And, but, you know, do I necessarily think it's going to solve anything? I mean, it'll probably make my Twitter experience better, not having to read these maniacs as much.
Yeah, it's more pleasant.
Or see other people retweet them. But in terms of the bigger, you know, the bigger problem with these nutcases, I don't know where we go from here. I really don't.
Anyway, well, he's gone on the 20th. One could think.
I've always loved your bot countdown thing. That's been going a while. How long you had that?
So I checked. I started on January 1st or 2nd, 2018.
Wow.
So I don't remember. I wrote the code just like on that weekend or something like that. I guess it was Christmas, right around Christmas, and I just launched it, and it was doing it every 3 days. And I would blast this thing out every 3 days, and I also have this quote bot that shoots out these quotes that I stole from an online list of quotes. And every once in a while, I get like a real nasty one. I don't know what the hell happens, but I guess it finds like there's a couple quotes in there that are just like from chat rooms or something like that. So I have to be careful. But there's like 2,000 of them, so I'm not going to go through and read every single one. But it's fun.
Well, how many days left, according to your bot?
Oh man, hold on. I'll rerun him real quick.
It's 8 days.
8 days. I think my bot's sick. Yeah. I just ran him. He should have gone.
Anyway. All right. There you go.
This has been Tech Hygiene. All technology is out to get us. I'm John Biggs.
I'm Lauren Feldman.
And we will see you next week. Tech Hygiene is brought to you by Typewriter. Typewriter is your on-demand editor, and their amazing team of writers will make your book chapter, blog post, or email shine. Typewriter editors come from places like TechCrunch, Gizmodo, and the New York Times, and they offer low bulk rates for longer work. Check it out at typewriter.plus. That's typewriter.plus.